Hello, hello, everybody. Welcome back to another show of... What is it, Wonga? What's the show called?
The Pre-Match Mooty. That's what Grimma GG used last week. Oh, it's yesterday.
Yesterday and last week. I mean, the one and only Pre-Match Mooty. As you can see, this is a first for Goal Lounge TV. This is a personal one-on-one with just me and Wonga. Wonga Denga, to unpack the eventful things that happened in the last couple of days, and of course, what is going to happen over the coming weekend. Wonga Denga, we might as well kick this thing off, boy. I mean, there's an introduction. Wait. Do you still want to talk about some things? You haven't given Fresh Legs a shout-out for a while. For those of you who don't know, Wonga Denga is the head development coach at Fresh Legs. I'm going to use the term academy, but if you want to correct that phrase, you're more than welcome to. But please, the floor is yours, Wonga. Just tell the people what you do at Fresh Legs.
Yeah, man, we are training little kids. Yes, they're quite entertaining, to be honest with you. I think they entertain me more than I entertain them. But yeah, we're training kids from 4 years old up until 13, focusing on development, the technical skills of the kids. And yeah, we try and make that fun and enjoyable and also a good learning environment for them. But currently we're operating out of Urban in Hatfield, and we also currently Cure as well. So yeah, you must look out for us. If you haven't seen us, you'll definitely see us coming soon, especially towards the end of the year.
There we go, Wonga Denga. You've done your plug in there for Fresh Legs. We've got the one and only Pums on the line. Wonga, just give Pums a little shout out to you before we move on.
What up, Pums? There's my fist as well. I don't know how to do it here on my phone.
And on that note, Pums, thanks for leading the way. You're always leading the conversation, the comments. If you're joining us for the first time, don't be afraid to comment and get involved in the conversation. We enjoy it. Don't forget to like, don't forget to subscribe, and of course, tell your mother, friends, uncles, brothers, best friend. We like growing the circle, right? All the formalities out the way. Wonga Denga, first game of the night we're going to be talking about. Obviously, it's Champions League recap. You've got your opinion about this game. You had your opinion about the game the night before. What did you think about it? Villarreal 2?
Obviously. It wasn't as straightforward as possible. I mean, it wasn't as straightforward as we thought it would be. But, Villarreal really put up a scare there. Showing that, you know what, the performance against Bayern wasn't a fluke. Who was that? Was it, what's his name? A Cooper? I forgot his name now. This guy who did that, that pass for the first goal.
Check this out. Jason hitting the facts here. Also, Pum's calling you Wonga Shaka. He's not letting that one go. And Jason hitting three finals, baby. Three. Not one, not two, but three finals!
I think half time. Came, and I think, I don't know, I think United Emery just said, hey guys, let's just give it to them. We must try and make sure our spot in the league is also safe, because to be serious though, I mean, the keeper could have done better, Travis. Gee whiz. I mean, the first goal through his legs, second goal through his legs, and the third goal, obviously, last minutes of the game, we're really thinking they're done for, and he's killed it. But I mean, those first two goals murdered it completely. I think they could have done better on that. But yeah, Liverpool were piling the pressure, and everyone says that it was coming. So yeah, well deserved.
Who are you referring to in particular? Where were you getting that everyone was saying it was coming?
What? No, I mean, like, if you watched the game, the commentators, I was also on Twitter as well, people were saying that, I mean, look, they thought it was their goal was coming, the game was turning, especially after the halftime whistle. Liverpool were different than they were in the first half. They were looking more threatening. Especially when Fabinho's goal got in, I was like, he was what the heck, the keeper, and the commentator then said, and fairly so, that that goal was coming. But gee whiz, I mean, God, it was so poor, man. Jeez.
The keeper was a lifeline there for Liverpool. But at the end of the day, when you've got to look at the first half performance, Liverpool were dreadful. I don't think Liverpool have played a game that bad in a long, long time. They were tired. The conditions were against them. I think the crowd Like, we knew they were going to be up for it. They were up for it. The crowd were there. The pitch was wet. The pitch was also wet. There was a certain that in the far left-hand side, it was tough for the guys just getting in and out. And then, of course, we've got, like Warren would say, if Warren's still on the line here with us, saying Trent Alexander-Arnold is in the same WhatsApp group as Harry Maguire. So, I mean, we've had that to contend with as well as it goes to Trent, not putting in the shift defending. I mean, you know what is funny about that goal they conceded was as soon as it went wide, and it went in the box, and I saw Trent was the man that had to deal with this. My immediate thought was, absolute goal. Bang! And there it was. And then we see the attempt. I'm like, dude, as a right back, at least try and make it seem like, you know, you give a shit about defending. Just try. You don't have to. We know you're not going to, but just make it look a little bit more believable. I don't know what you think about that.
No, I agree with you. It was Coughlin's goal. He just watched it. And Coughlin didn't get... it wasn't a clean header. And if Trent had probably jumped with him, I don't even think it wouldn't have gone in. Because he was uncontested and the header wasn't even clean. And Coughlin's not known for scoring his headers. I mean, and he got there. I mean, if Trent had just jumped with him, I promise you, I don't think that would have been a goal. Not at all. But I mean, look, at Trent, he does other things also. He's definitely not on the field to defend. He's not on the field for his defending. He's there for his crosses, and that's exactly what got them their second goal as well. That's a good cross with his left foot, his opposite one. And I mean, he was doing that the whole game, taking a shot. They got to hit the post there. So yeah, he's definitely doing more than he's definitely doing more up front than a usual right back. You know, your standard right back. So I can understand why Klopp would keep on paying him week in, week out. But Villarreal, I think even the Villarreal team, I think they would think that they literally gave it away to Liverpool. They had it. They could have gone through. But yeah, I think Liverpool will also look and say, look, we also, we've done well to win that game. So yeah.
Yeah, look, they did do well. They had to come back from not just one, but two goals down, away from home, at the Yellow Submarine, which we know is it's a rocking sort of place. I think when you're looking at it from a Liverpool perspective, I was watching with a few Liverpool fans, as you know, and they were worried. A couple of them were worried, and they were thinking, oh, here goes the possibility of getting that third final secured. And for me, my whole mindset has changed. This Liverpool team currently and their performances has made me view them in a light where, you know, when you watching Man City play on the weekends, for example, you're not a Man City fan, but you know the likelihood of them winning is very, very high. Even if they go 1-0 down, 2-0 down, right? You know it's inevitable that they will come back at some point, right? And you're able to establish that feeling because you're not a diehard Man City fan. So you detach yourself and you just know what the outcome is going to be. You know which feeling I'm talking about.
Yeah.
I was literally watching that game with that feeling, and it was a bizarre thing. It's a bizarre shift that this team was able to make me think that. And I just went, I was relaxed. I just had another beer. And I was like, they're coming back into this. And the other guys were like, what is coming? And then it came. And I said, yeah, you see? But to your point, the Villarreal keeper did them no favors. It was an absolute gift of a first goal. And as soon as that happened, you know, momentum changed. The conversation Klopp had at halftime was key. The change he made in taking off Jota, not many managers would do that at halftime. Take off one of the key members in your front three. And I say key right now. We've got four or five key players up front, let's be honest. But Jota wasn't doing the business, and he took him off. We weren't getting the sort of linker play that we needed. We had no control of the game. I don't think anyone played well that first half. And I think, you know, conditions aside, the field is also a lot smaller. So what is quite interesting was Konate's come in. We know Matip's got a good relationship with Virgil van Dijk. Now all of a sudden there's this extra space where they're getting caught out, where they're not used to getting. They're used to being able to recover with the pacing behind. And they weren't getting that because the pitch is a bit shorter. So they were getting caught off guard. And that was quite interesting as to how they turned around. And for me, I'm happy because like Jason's already commented, three finals, Wonga. Three finals. Also, you want to show the people what you... Yeah?
That's what I want to see. That's what I said yesterday on Tuesday. They must get to all the finals and get axed. They must get axed one by one. That'll be even better for me.
Okay, you're super happy there. Warren's saying Real showed now with Chelsea and City that they are not to be taken lightly, and this is the stuff that they thrive on. Well, overall performance. I mean, we've touched on the Liverpool performance. We looked at, obviously, a couple of changes that they had. We're going to go into the Premier League games this weekend, but the next game, arguably one of the greatest comebacks in Champions League history, or at least that's what Celo was tweeting. What did you think about this game? Champions League, Real Madrid 3, Man City, what, 1, and this was them coming back within a space of 4 minutes, less?
Yeah, ridiculous. I don't know if people exaggerate and they say 2, but I watched that, I can't remember how quick it was, but it was quick. Yeah, that game was hectic, man. I didn't get to watch most of the first half, but I did catch the whole of the second half. But I mean, yeah, I think again, the first leg, Vinicius was a problem. And how do you know that? You've got a Kyle Walker starting. Obviously, he wasn't 100% fit. And Cancelo as well. When Walker comes off, where does Cancelo go? Cancelo goes that side where Vinicius is. And I did mention this on Tuesday as well. With that thing of Fabinho making a mistake, Vinicius, his pace is a problem. It's a huge, huge problem. And this game as well, you could see it was also a problem as well. But nothing, I mean, came off that side. Man City, did they get that many open opportunities? I think they had one or two shots. I mean, I don't think, I mean, the one that Courtois saved, that's the one I saw. I think the one, who was it? It was Cancelo hit a good strike. Courtois saves that one. But I mean, yo, Madrid, I don't think anyone expected it. It's 90 minutes. I think Madrid fans probably think it's over. You could even hear the fans. They were silenced by Man City's goal. Quiet. And I think then, you know, people are just thinking, you know, it's done. And you know, you're hoping. I even had a little thought pass my head thinking, imagine they do again in these, I think it was the 86 minutes. I was thinking to myself, imagine they do again. they do exactly what they did to Chelsea now, you know, but it was just a passing thought. And there comes Rodrigo. And did you see the goal? He, what's his name? Who was it before? Someone else touches the ball before he headers it. It's literally taking the ball off flat. I don't know how he's even got it exactly on his head. But he's jumping before. I don't even know if it was a fluke or what, but it looked perfect. So I couldn't understand how he scored the goal. But I don't even think anyone cares about that. They're just worried about the ball being in the back of the net. And there goes Carlo Ancelotti. Does his eyebrow. And then, you know.
No, very good. Rodrigo, very good. I put you on the field. You scored 2 good goals. Yeah? Make me proud.
I love when you're doing that.
Yeah, you didn't call that. I mean,
that was ridiculous. It was ridiculous. I can't let.
Wonga Pum saying not having a number 9 or focal point is what City lacked. And I think that, you know, we know that. But yes. Go ahead, Wonga.
Yeah, sorry, I forgot. I don't think so. I don't think so, because if Man City have their chances, even in the first leg, they could have buried Madrid. They could have buried them. When Grealish comes on, Grealish was ripping them apart. Just, it might have been 2 or 3 runs, but all of those runs could have led to goals. The one should have been a definite goal. And for me, I felt like and I say big ups to Mendy, because I think if you look at it, it's almost like, you know, Villarreal, when they concede that last goal, it's sort of like that. Like, you know, the keeper's running out. It's the last play. They really don't really care if the ball goes in the game. You know, they feel like, the game is over. And, you know, Mane gets the ball and he buries them. And I felt the same thing happened there with Grealish as well. He's gone through the left. He's beaten. He tried the first time. They fouled him. As he got on, it was Mokinos. He fouled him. The second time he goes there, he's run at pace. He's gone there. He's beaten Courtois, and he puts the ball, basically he has to finish, and there comes Mendy. Most of the guys you can see are just watching, it's open at the back. Mendy comes in, and he cuts the ball out, and he gives, you wouldn't have realized it then, but he's given Madrid a lifeline here. He's given, because you think the game is over anyways, so it doesn't really matter if Chiquiris puts it in, but he saves them, he literally saves, if that goal goes in, it's done. Then Mendy puts it out, and there Rodrigo comes on and he does his business. And then Benzema, it had to be him.
The good type of business, not the bad type of business. He gave him a number 2 solid there. Number 2. He said, coach, I need a number 2. Can you put me on? And he went there. Solid business. 2 goals. Yeah. And changed the game quick. But interesting was, I did say this. And I love the fact that Celo tweeted this. I said, the player who can make the difference for Man City was Bernardo, because he's the one player in my mind who's got the right mentality, and the others need to draw inspiration from this guy, and they didn't quite do it. And at the end of the day, the only reason Real Madrid go through to this final is because that stadium, that second leg was played at the Bernabeu, which we knew would be a factor. That stadium made them believe that they have the right to demand that final. And that's how they get away with it, because City were the better team for large parts of the game. They should have been in the, they should be in the final now. And you know what's interesting about the whole, you know, City choking, Pep Guardiola, et cetera, Wonga, from a coaching perspective and from your development perspective, when you're looking at it and you see what Guardiola did, taking off De Bruyne, was that a good move? Taking off Rodrigo, taking off Mahrez, when you are 1-0 up, did you think that was sort of the right approach for the man to take?
He took off Mahrez for Grealish, am I right?
Yeah.
Grealish, when Grealish came on, he did. If that's what Pep asked of him, then he did exactly what Pep asked him to do. He took on those guys, he was quicker than them, and all the runs he did, every time he got the ball, it was really, really dangerous. He cut in the one time, tried to shoot, didn't get it right, but the one, like I did explain to you guys, that should have been a goal. That should have been the one goal. You know, I mean, yeah, you're getting four, you get three chances, and then one goal. I think that's good. I think Grealish does enough. He's done enough. He's beaten the keepers, and he's passed the ball correctly. But
has he done £100 million worth of enough?
If you think about it, yeah, he's gone past. He should have scored. But again, Mendy comes back. Mendy does his job as a defender. And that's why I say I won't say that. I mean, Grealish hasn't. I mean, he's literally falling as well. It's a very complicated thing to do. I think Pep. You can say it was the wrong decision or whatever, but I think he's made a decision that made sense. Grealish was fresher, and he showed it. He showed it that he was gonna that he could cause problems within 5 minutes.
So you're ruling out that this had anything to do with Guardiola.
Everyone's blaming.
Yeah.
I say everyone's blaming Guardiola, and I can't understand. Like, Kevin De Bruyne comes off, and I think they say there's something wrong with him. He's not 100%. And fair enough, you know, you've got the league, you also got to fight for as well. You've got quality on the bench. He puts on Gundogan. You're not going to get a Kevin De Bruyne performance from Gundogan. It's two completely different players. But when he puts on Grealish, he was a problem. But as I said, Madrid did their business and they defended. The whole team was beating. Grealish beat the whole team. Mendy did his job, stopped them, and that was enough. I think if that goal goes in, it changes the game for Man City. And I think that's why Pep had put him on for that reason, Madrid blocked it. You know, I don't think then what more can you do? What more could you do there? De Bruyne played the whole 90 minutes. He was, I'm not saying it's ineffective, but yeah, obviously, I mean, he's tired. You can try to get more fresh legs in. No one that came on the field put in a sub performance, you know, put in a performance below zero. You know, I think everyone who came on, they find Grealish did more than he, I think Grealish did exactly what he should have done. And it didn't work out because of Matisse good defending. I can't blame Pep in this at all. I can't see why you would blame Pep. It's just the,
Look at you putting that up. Raising that eyebrow, ending off that statement there with a nice raised eyebrow. Pum saying Grealish needs to start more. Wonga, based on what you're saying, I think you could agree with that. When we're looking at it overall, now we're looking at royalty. We're looking at the setup, the game that is to be coming towards the end of the season. That is the final between these two. You can say this, and I'm not just saying it because I'm a Liverpool fan, Wonga, even though it might come across extremely biased. But this is European royalty. You've got 13 wins for the, you're pulling that face, but you've never won. Arsenal have never won a Champions League, so I don't know why you're pulling that face, but we're looking at it. Liverpool have won 6 times. If they win this, they go on 7. They become the second most successful side in par with AC Milan. When we're looking at the final that sets up, Ancelotti making history now, the first manager to make 5 European finals. Interesting fact, this is going to be the third time he faces Liverpool in a final, losing one and then winning the other. Another interesting fact, Wonga Denga. The last time, so Real Madrid have made it to the last 7 finals, they've won every final. The last time they lost a final in the European Cup was in 1981. And guess against who it was?
Barcelona.
Liverpool, and take a guess where it was played.
It was played at Anfield, was it not?
In Paris.
Was it played in Paris?
Played in Paris. So I don't know if anyone's out there reading omens, look out for that. Let's see what happens. But
so the opposite's going to happen.
The opposite's going to happen. More to the point, though. We're going to talk about this in terms of seeing Real Madrid. What's interesting is they've obviously come through a tougher route. They've beaten Chelsea convincingly from a comeback. They've beaten PSG. They've beaten Man City. And you could say now, they arguably, if we're looking according to these omens, the story has been written for this Real Madrid side to do the double for their season after winning the league. The spirits are high. We're looking at Liverpool, though. You could also argue the stars are aligning for them. So the question is I have for you, Wonga, in terms of the quadruple versus the double, in terms of the harder route versus another different route, which side, and I know you've been saying the whole time, you've been saying Liverpool are going to lose, but in your heart, honestly, not the heart, sorry, you always think with the heart, with your head, what do you think is going to happen here, and how do you see it playing out?
But you asked this question about the Man City game, and I said Madrid are going to win. Because of that thing, you just don't know what you can expect from them. And again, no one expected that. Again, they're saying this again now for like the third time. No one expected that. And I don't even think the manager expected it himself. And, you know, now you're mentioning a PSG. That reminded me of how they performed against PSG. That was probably... I forgot to put charge on my phone. That was probably... The first leg they played against PSG.
Sorry, Wonga, I just want to give a shout out here to Kappa Reacts, saying Liverpool have a hard time to contain Benzema from scoring. Okay, go ahead, Wonga.
Tell them, Kappa. Listen, I think if you look at Madrid, it's literally, you can see, this is a team that probably they really want, so they believe in themselves. I don't exactly know what exactly it is, but I mean, they've pulled it out. Against PSG, let me get back to that point. Against PSG, they played the first leg, they were atrocious, Claudio. I don't think anyone had any hope that they're going to beat PSG in the second leg. Because the first leg, they was completely dominated. The passing, the everything. And I mean, if you looked at that, you'd say definitely there's no ways they could stand up against the Man City. There was no ways they could stand against the Man City playing like that in the first leg. But they went through, I mean, now they're the final playing against Liverpool, taking out Man City, taking out Chelsea.
Something to note, though, is the teams they've taken them out and how this has played out. And Pum saying the team with a tough route to the final normally wins. And, you know, we can't argue with that because there's that momentum that carries. There's the belief when you're taking out the best, you tend to go into the final thinking you are the best. So you have an ownership the moment you step out into the pitch. The difference is with all these games, though, is the secret of the Bernabeu. That second leg was played at the Bernabeu. And we know how influential that is. In terms of this is a one-off game. This is a game against Liverpool, who we know, we talk about the Madrid crowd. Now, I've been in 2019, I was there. I was sitting in between the Madrid crowd and the Liverpool fans were there. Now, we've got these two sets of fans. We've got Liverpool that are crying out for this, not even crying out, they're set to achieve the unthinkable in the quadruple. We've got the roots now, you're saying, Real Madrid had a tougher route. Liverpool also, in the beginning, put in the group of death, arguably, in terms of the teams that they had with regards to Atleti, AC Milan, and obviously Porto. That was the harder of the groups. They got fortunate, you could argue, in terms of the route to the final. But they're still competing on multiple fronts, which is an added pressure. But now, how do you look at these two and you say, is this route going to be the difference? Also, Trent versus Vinicius Jr., Pumzi is saying.
Yeah, and Pumas is right. Pumas is right. That's exactly what it's going to be. They're going to play a high line, and Vinicius is going to say thank you, cheers, bye, the whole game. Let's see. I want to see what Kappa says here. I think the mistake Ancelotti made was not starting Camavinga. It also may suit them in not playing Alaba, as injured Nacho was phenomenal last night. Yeah, I think with the Camavinga, I think they'll probably ease him into these things. I mean, you're starting a Madrid at Casemiro because of the experience. And those guys are, you know, a Casemiro. Did you see what Casemiro did? How did he get off the field out of yellow card? How did Casemiro get off the field out of yellow card?
Dark arts. The same way Fernandinho always gets away with it.
He's literally chopped the guy, scissor kicked the guy from behind, number one. Then the second time, he pulled the guy down by the shoulder. You know, and I think then I just think, okay, no, you know, got the final. Let's take him off. Kamavinga comes on, and I can understand why he's done it. I can understand why you would not start the Kamavinga and then rather bring him on and start a Casemiro, because you can't let a Man City play fluently. I mean, Kamavinga came on and he made some very good tackles, eh? And they needed those legs towards the ends, because you got people like Bernardo Silva and them. If the other guys like Casemiro and Modric, they'll probably tend to be slower in the towards the end of the game. Kamavinga comes on and you could see there was a lot of energy in him. A lot of energy. So I can understand why he's done that. I just think Madrid, Claudio again, they've got something up their sleeves. I don't even think they know what it is, but it will be available to them when they're playing against Liverpool. I just think second leg, with the beat the other teams, I don't even think that matters. I just think...
So if we've got to compare the two now, Liverpool still have the FA Cup final coming. They're still obviously in contention for the league, and they've got to keep fighting every game from here on in. Real Madrid now can afford to take a break. They've got one game left of the season that means a lot to them. It's this game. Will this preparation for them, will this gap building up to this final be a hindrance, or will it be beneficial for Real Madrid?
The gap in what? Sorry, I didn't hear that.
The gap in terms of Real Madrid going, we've got one game to prepare for, and not being necessarily competitive on all fronts. Their season, as things stand, is pretty much done. They've already wrapped up the league. They can afford to rotate players. They've got one game, which is this final, to prepare for. Would it help them? Or will the fact that Liverpool are still competing on all fronts be beneficial for Liverpool, or will it be tiring for Liverpool?
I think it'll be a bit more complicated for Liverpool. He's got to be very careful. I mean, who he plays, think about it carefully, especially if he wants to win it all. Because now if he goes guns in and he plays his best team against every team, then there's a chance the best players will get injured, you know, so he's got to be very tactical about it. Ancelotti can maybe... Yeah, he can probably rest a few players. He can also try out maybe something that maybe he's thinking about that can punish a Liverpool, see if it works during a match. He can also see if it works during a training session. I think it'll just be more complicated for Liverpool. They'll have to look at it more carefully than Real Madrid. Yeah, Real Madrid have more leeway, definitely. And I think, yeah, it would play a big... If Liverpool get those decisions wrong... which they've done, they've actually got away with it. Not got away with it. Let me say they've played the right team, they've got the right results. But if now they get an injury, you know, like this weekend they're playing against the Tottenham, and a Tottenham can hurt them. But they'll need someone like the Yotas, all those guys to punish them.
So Wonga, I see it in a slightly different manner. I think it depends on the engine that you're running. So, if you've got a very good engine, you can stop-start where needs be. So if you need to take the car down to the coast for the weekend and you can just start it and take it, then great. But sometimes it's better to leave the engine running warm, running hot. And I think in Liverpool's case now, the engine's very warm and they can't afford to switch off. Maybe you can say when we're looking at the Villarreal sort of game, the engine, you know, needed to be switched off a little bit and they needed to rotate one or two things. But it's going. And at the end of the day, the car knows where it's going and the players believe where they're saying, where they want to go. And we look at Salah's comment coming out yesterday saying, yes, he's ready for this. He obviously wants to exact revenge from 2019. So there are a lot of different narratives we can play around here. But I think when we're looking at it specifically as to what you think and what everyone else in the comments thinks. Also, a couple, thank you very much for the comments. This is the first time you're joining us, and we appreciate these comments. But what do you think, Wonga? Which side are you leaning towards here to take this trophy home?
Yeah, I think, firstly with that, I think I was going to say Kapo is definitely right. That Liverpool have those players to do that. And that's probably why, Klopp has gone out and bought these, Liverpool has gone out and bought these players to make sure they've got cover. Cause they're trying to gun for everything. Cause they're going to need more than one squad to do that. That's the truth, about it. But Madrid, I mean, look, they've won their league. To be fair, they've won their league quite convincingly. Comfortably, Barcelona not even in contention with that. The other guys not in contention for that. And then they've gone and they've they've just won the league. They've celebrated it. They've taken the trophy through the city, and then they've gone and beaten Man City in the semi-final. So I think their heads are in the right place, you know. Their heads are in the right place there. But in the final, I think a Madrid will win it. I just think it's all written for Karim Benzema. And yeah, then he takes the Ballon d'Or come end of the year. And now we've lost the Claudio. We'll see where he goes with that. But yeah, look, I agree with you on that one. Eh? The Diaz, Jota, Firmino, Salah, and I mean, even if they do play, even if they get like if a Diaz is injured, if a Diaz is injured and a Jota is injured, you still got a Firmino, Mane, Salah. Even if one of Salah and Mane are injured, you're still fine. Even if Salah and Mane are injured, I think they still pose a threat. And that's how, I would say that's how fortunate, Liverpool are at this moment. In their prep, for this game. I just want to see if there's any other comments here. Liverpool are taking it. That's what Pooms thinks. Oh, Pooms. Okay. Just showing some love there. Hey, Capo, tell us what channel are you bringing there? We'd like to hear. And then I see, oh, Kamavinga also saying that you'd rather start Toni Kroos, Kamavinga ahead of Kroos. Kamavinga, Capo, also, you must just tell me there why you would like to start Kamavinga over Kroos. I'd like to know that. Because for me, I can see why Ancelotti's playing Kroos and all those guys ahead of him. I know those guys are, well, in fact, we all know, they're getting old now. I think he's just easing Kamavinga into this Real Madrid squad. I see he doesn't start every game. He comes in most of the time. But look, I mean, when he comes on, he puts in a shift. That's the honest truth. That's the honest truth about it. And I'm happy about that. Where is Barrero? He's supposed to be putting up the next... Who's the next commenter? Kroos is the one. Yeah, he's... I agree with you, Pooms. I agree with you there, Pooms. What's the right word for him? It's top class, man. I mean, even if you get players like him and Modric. I mean, look, Modric, class, him also class as well. But like I say, I think he's just easing. You don't want to be putting that much responsibility on him. I mean, immediately, you know. I mean, I would do the same if I was in Madrid's shoes. I would also just ease the guy into those into the matches. It makes sense. He's gonna be. I think he's probably a long term project. I would assume because those guys are. I mean, you would think, especially if Modric and them go on and win this Champions League final. I don't see why they would not maybe go back and play in their homelands or you know just. Call it quits because I mean I think Kroos has won the World Cup and I don't know if Modric would try and do it. He got close, but I think I think he got as close as he could in his career. But yeah, I mean that would be up to them. But yeah, I mean we should be moving on to the fixtures for the weekend and comes Claudio. We're gonna move on to it in the dark. Barrero,
imagine.
Let me fill you in. I was just about to move on to the fixtures for the weekend. I didn't want to start with the the Liverpool and the Tottenham game. I'd like to finish off with that one.
Wait. Personally, I just want to jump on and say, Wonga, well done. This is the first time ever we've had a one-man show here, one-man band. Eskom decided to throw you in the deep end and see how you could swim, and I think you've done well. So if you're watching for the first time, this is Wonga manning the show. So well done, Wonga Dinga. If Arsenal perform like you did right now, they'll be okay. We've got a couple of comments in here. Arsenal finishing ahead of Manchester. That's from Warren.
There we go. And Poom saying it. There we go. Thank you. And Poom, don't forget, we're finishing ahead of Chelsea. That's what we're gunning for. It's not a top four. Like, maybe Tottenham and Man United are gunning for top four. That's cool. Us, we're going for top three. We've passed that stage. We're sitting on that level, actually.
So, Wonga, I'm assuming we're on the Premier League sort of fixtures. Is that where we're at right now?
Yeah, we're about to start. Yes. We end with Liverpool and Tottenham.
Okay. No, we can't end with that because Seth always complains we need to stick according to schedule, so we tackle it according to schedule. First game for the weekend, Chelsea versus Wolves. This is Pumza's team. Also, Wonga, you say Arsenal gunning for third place. What do we think is going to happen at Stamford Bridge versus Wolves?
I think if I've seen Chelsea of late, I mean, after they've gotten knocked out, it's put a bit of a dent there. I think it's done something there. I don't know if in terms of, I mean, like now, even now, the club is in a limbo. They don't know who's owning the club. They don't know what's going to be happening. I mean, if there's still going to be a club next year. Of course, I mean, that'll happen. But they really don't know what's happening. The future of the club is not there. The players really don't know. And I think that's why for a player like Rudiger, it makes sense. Okay, people are coming for me. Let me just dip out, There's more certainty in that. And I just don't know. I mean, at Chelsea, these matches that they're losing, it's matches that... they started the season so well, and I don't know where. I mean, before beginning of the season, I was saying that, this defense is impenetrable. It's you can't get through it. And I couldn't see a team scoring. Now, you think Chelsea, you can score. You can score, and the Wolves will see that. I think the Wolves are even Wolves is probably also the better defending sides in the league. I'm not sure how they did in their last game. But I think they will pose a threat to Chelsea.
They lost. They actually lost 3-0 to... Look, they haven't done well. They lost three games. They've lost three in a row. They lost 1-0 to Newcastle away from home. They lost away to Burnley. And then they lost at home 3-0 to Brighton, who are currently sitting five points beneath them. So, Wonga, it's a lot asking from this side, but maybe...
No.
Maybe it's about time they break their pattern, eh? Three losses in a row.
That's exactly my thought. Then you go look at what is the winners of the last time Wolves lost four times in a row this year. And yep. I think that's what, if you're looking at that, then you're thinking, okay, now these guys are sitting there like, no ways. I mean, it's a Chelsea. It's a good team to actually prove our resolve against. And they've got the capability to do it. They've frustrated the Man City many a times while they've been up. To get out of the reach. I'm telling you, they'll disappoint. They're going to probably draw, and we'll be one step closer onto Chelsea come after our game.
Is Kapo reacting Arsenal fan? Is that what's going on here?
What? If Liverpool don't help us with the result against Spurs, then I hope. Hey, Kapo, you see, I knew this guy was a logical man. you could only be an Arsenal supporter. Hey, Aman, what up? What up, Aman? We're just discussing how Arsenal are going to finish top three this year.
Warren saying my background looks like a distant memory forming. Yes, that's what it looks like here. But right now, we're trying to live in the present. The current memory we're looking at is obviously this Chelsea-Wolves game. Pums is feeling very confident. I mean, Chelsea, realistically... If we're looking at Chelsea, they're in the same spot our goal line squad is right now, Wonga Dinga. Let's look at it. We've got Selor, who wants to be on a holiday because he knows his team have nothing to play for. We've got Matt, who's got other commitments in between. They're not sure, if his house is going to get bought or sold. He's got kiddies commitments. So he's all over the place and he's waiting for Chelsea to be sold. Then you've got Nick, who started up a new thing and he's distracted. So that's kind of where we are. We know it's end of the season blues for Chelsea. This is where they are. They've obviously, similar to Real Madrid, they've got one game to look forward to. That's the FA Cup. Are they going to put all the eggs in that basket? And, Pums, should they be doing that? Should they maybe be resting some players, trying one or two things out, here and getting ready for next week's game. And I suppose there are two more games before that final, because there's obviously a midweek game as well. And then the question I have is Lukaku, the elephant in the room. And this is a direct comparison because the man is big. I don't know if he's long big like Patrick Vieira, but he is a big man. What's going to happen to this guy? Is it done? It's done for him at Chelsea, surely.
Yeah, I mean, I think looking at like what's happening in the club as well, I think looking at what's happened in the club and what his comments before, I think him leaving, I would say, is very possible. I would say like 90% possible that he definitely leaves at the end of the season. He's not playing games now. And when he comes on, he's not. I mean, look, we tipped him down to score 20. We tipped him down to score 20, and it went. It's felt like it's gone. I was like, hey, Aman, Arjun, we kidding? Hey, these guys.
He okay. Doesn't believe it, Arjun. He's saying it's not going to happen. He's saying.
Arjun, guys, we'll shock you. We'll shock you. We'll shock
Pums
you guys.
Is like, do you remember those protests on the corner here of Bears Nordia and whatever, Malabongwe, all those old white ladies when they're trying to get Zuma out of his role as president? They were going, Zuma must go. Yes, Pums of the sign saying, Lukaku must go. Lukaku must go. Out.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's doing now. I think it's more certain than not that he would probably leave, especially with what he said before and all that stuff. I can't see him staying, especially what's happening now. Unless he's a person who would want to sort of show, you know, that and sort of redeem himself. I think he can. I think he still has the ability to do so. But yeah, that's up to him. Maybe go back to the Italian league. I think for me it would make sense to actually play in the Premier League and try to prove yourself there, you know, because there's so many people that are saying that.
The problem that he has is that he's earning crazy money now at Chelsea. He's one of the higher paid players in the squad. We know that Italian clubs aren't going to be able to afford that. So it's a decision that he needs to make. Does he stay at Chelsea, not get game time, but get paid? Or does he leave for football reasons and take a pay cut? That's kind of where he's at the moment. I'm thinking the man for his career has to leave. He can't just sit bench like a Bale and take up golf. Unless him and Bale are going to start like a golfing tag team or golfing club, then maybe they're onto something there, but I don't know. Quick fire, Wonga, Chelsea versus Wolves, score prediction.
I say 2-2. 2-2 draw.
City draw. You think that's going to carry over into the next game? Do you think they just don't give a shit about results until the final? Surely you can't go towards the FA Cup final not picking up points. That affects momentum. It affects morale.
I think Wolves are also going to be fighting for it. Four losses in a row. I can't see a Wolves doing that.
Aman's saying we've had our finals last week and this week, so they've been busy, which is why I've not been able to make the recent videos. Thank you, Aman. I hope that went well, and thanks for the update. So at least we know. You're also saying apparently the Bayer is going to Inter, so maybe Juventus for Lukaku. That's a good point. We've got Pum saying 2-0 Chelsea, so he's saying Chelsea win outright. I think Chelsea have to win this. They have to win this. There's no ways. So I'm going to say 1-0 victory to Chelsea. Wonga saying 2-2 draw. Before we move over to the next game, Copper saying, who was the last striker who did well at Chelsea? Werner flopped. Lukaku, Murata. I think it goes all the way back to Diego Costa. Torres, Lukaku would do better at another club. There we go. And on that note, we're going to move on to the next game. Brighton versus Man United. I know Cedlaw's on holiday and his team's technically on holiday, but Brighton are playing for something. They are playing for catch up there. They want to try and finish as high as they can, you know, and they're not bad run of form at home. Also, what does it really mean should we even talk about this result? Because if they lose, I know Arjun's here, Man United representative in the house, but who cares if they want to lose here, really? Should we care?
Hey, bro, I can't lie to you. I kind of sort of feel sorry for Man United. Like, it's quite sad. I mean, we don't hear the fans anymore. Hey, they're losing games. Even this weekend when they were playing, I was like, oh, yeah, they won. Well done, guys.
That's bad. When your rivals are feeling bad for you and saying, yeah, let them get a point, huh?
And there's Ahmad right. The best player, the guy that everyone is saying that he's is causing problems, is the one that's keeping them up. He's literally the guy. He's putting the penalties in the back of the net where they should be. Scored a free kick, scoring out the box, scoring headers. He's what he's doing. 23 goals now. And I don't know how that is. I don't know. I think he's doing more good than bad, like other people were saying. He's putting the bones back in the net, keeping them quiet. But at Brighton, Claudio. Brighton. I actually feel for, I think they're going to lose. That's the honest truth. I think Man United's going to lose. I can't lie to you. But I agree with the man that if Ronaldo pulls up, they've got something. But I think they'll lose.
So on that note, what's your score prediction? Also, Copper saying they're fighting for the Conference League, lol.
I think I would say 2-1 to Brighton. Man United score, but yeah, I think they lose.
Yeah, I'm gonna say I think it's a good shot, Wangadenga. But I think Ronaldo, on his day, shows up, he scores. Remember, Ronaldo. He's playing for his own record, like he normally does. He wants to try and get as many goals as he can. And I think he will score if he plays. So I think he will score. So 2-1 is a fair assessment. I'm going to say 2-2 draw. Let's see Ronaldo double there for United and get his stats up. But then
And Brighton beats a top four team, Arsenal. So, they got something in there.
They can do it. They can do something. Right, now for the game that you want to talk about, Wonga, you got a choice. Actually, in the comment section, we've got three choices here. Now, I normally stick according to schedule as to when the games are being played on the weekend, but in terms of what you want to talk about right now, we can talk about Liverpool versus Spurs, we can talk about Arsenal versus Leeds, or we can talk about Man City versus Newcastle. Which one do you want to talk about? Wonga Denga, which one are you leaning towards?
Start the Leicester one.
The Leicester? We're not talking about Leicester, bro. Where did you get that? We're not even going to cover Leicester.
Leicester. Leicester.
No, you just Man City, Newcastle. Did I say Leicester?
That sounded like you said Leicester to me. Let's go Man City. Yeah, Man City, Newcastle. That's going to be a spicy game. Yo, this weekend's going to be hectic, eh?
All right, well, let's talk about that then. Man City versus Newcastle.
That's going to be hectic.
Before you jump into this, obviously they've come off the back now of a demoralizing sort of defeat. Do you think, and now there were some comments in our Discord channel that said, sure thing, now Man City take the league. Or do you think this impacts them severely? In terms of when we're looking at the mentality and what we're thinking is, are they playing now for the sake of going, well, we can only win the league, let's make this right, let's bounce back immediately, let's get the 3 points on and make sure that we retain the Premier League and we keep it in our grasp and it's in our control? Or does this negatively affect them when they go, shit, Liverpool can win four trophies here and we've just come off the back of that, and does that add pressure to them and that does that lead to the results or to a slip-up?
Look, the truth about Man City is you don't want to play them when they've just lost. Because they really lose two games in a row. Especially if they lose the next game, it's going to be hellfire for the next team. And I think that's what's going to happen with the Newcastle. But, I think Man City also fortunate they're not going to St. James. Because that would be different. But Newcastle has upset Liverpool, Man City in the past. And I think now they would have a better team to do that. That's the truth. They have a better team. And when I say not in terms of players, I'm just saying like the team as a whole, what they're doing and stuff. They definitely in a better position to beat a Man City than they were in the past. But yeah, I think Man City, this win means more to them, and they've just come for a loss. I think it'll be Newcastle's toughest game ever since they've had their new manager and their new run of form. I think it will be their toughest game. I think they could even leak in three and be humbled by this.
So I think they could be humbled. Victory at the Etihad, then.
I wouldn't call it routine. I wouldn't call it routine in terms of, I think they definitely would they're going to stamp their dominance in that game. That's for sure. They were looking to do that.
So scoreline?
I would say 3-0 to Man City.
3-0. So that's an interesting one. That's an interesting one because, like I said, when you're looking at it, it's up to them now. They get to decide. You know, if they slip up, and from a Liverpool perspective, this is it. If Newcastle can do something, then they're in for a shot. But if they did, bro, you're distracting me with your mic there. You're lifting up, you're lifting down. It's affecting the sound there. Anyway, my point is, it's going to be tricky for them. It's going to be a tough one because, you know, psychologically, there's a lot playing on. I think if Newcastle can hold out the first half, we'll sense nerves creeping in a little bit. And the longer that goes on, the better it is for Liverpool, the better it is for the rest of the Premier League. Because I like to think no one wants a team to win the league three times in a row. Do they? Do you? Do you want that to happen?
Yeah, true. I hear you on that one. But no. Don't give me to that. I don't want Liverpool to touch the league. Man City can take a B, even if it was their 10th time taking it. No ways. Can't suck me into that one. No ways.
All right. Well, I'm gonna hope for the best, and I'm gonna say it's gonna be a 1-1 draw. That's what I'm gonna hope for. I know Kopa's coming out saying Bruno Guimarães is gonna be feasting on them, and he can see them struggling against Newcastle. They are in good form, is what he says. So I'm hoping for that.
The Brenner fires. You know, when the Brenner plays well, just a guy. Even yesterday was. It's unbelievable. He's an unbelievable footballer, Kevin De Bruyne. And I think, yeah, if he's firing against the Newcastle, it's late. It's late for them. Gabriel will just be in awe.
Ask him to swap shirts at half time, not even at the end of the game. All right. So, Premier League, Arsenal versus Leeds. Wonga Denga, it is your time. Can you chase the third spot? You are hoping for Chelsea to drop points so Arsenal can catch them. Is this where they do it?
Yeah, and I think we've got I don't know how he's doing Tomoyasu. I think he picked up something there against
Pums, just clarify. Is this 1-1 draw for the Man City Newcastle game or for the Leeds Arsenal game? Okay, as you were, Wonga.
Definitely not the Leeds and Arsenal game. He knows we win. Now, news breaking that apparently Mbappe is staying at PSG. Check it out, guys. No ways. Leave. Oh, keep boring me, Mbappe. Why the hell are you staying at PSG? What the heck? To do what? What are you doing at PSG? Maybe he's still paying off his house or something. But that's ridiculous. Oh, come on. Thank
Wong, it's houses, not house.
Nah, bruh. Like, what? Ah, bruh. He's not. I mean, yeah, it's his choice, but come on, bruh. Hey, now we're boring. Now
Where are you pulling these things from? Honestly, what's your source that you get these things from?
Yeah, tell us the source there, because I want to make sure that my frustration is based on something real. Yeah, you see, I told you, Pums knows.
So Pums saying, knows. But he was actually saying, he's saying City draw, eh? If he's saying City draws, yes. Pums, how many trophies do you think Liverpool are going to? Okay, from now until the end of the show, in your comments, let us know how many trophies you think Liverpool will end up with. Okay, to the point of Arsenal Leeds. Let's go. What is that? One goal or one trophy for Liverpool? Because we know there's no trophy for Arsenal.
Yeah, they'll take, what is that thing? What's the trophy they got already? That, I forgot now. But yeah. Does that mean Haaland to Madrid?
Haaland's going to City.
It's coming to Arsenal. Now listen. I think our defense is getting back to what it was beginning of the season. Tomoyasu started well. The only thing I never checked though if he will be starting, because I saw he did pick up a knock during the game. They played this last weekend. But yeah, I'm happy about that. Guy was very dicey. And Leeds will be looking to, yeah, the Carabao Cup. Yeah, that's the only cup they take. But anyways, what's this guy's name on the left? Tavares. Very, very concerning. I know I did say that it was better to play him then. I'm still of the opinion. Can't buy a young player like that and leave him on the bench. What the heck? Like, no ways. You can't do that. I don't agree with that. Yes, try fix it. Goodness me. You guys gave Pepe weak chance week in, week out. Now that I mentioned it, yeah, I forgot about that guy. He was still on our team. I haven't seen him in a while. But Yeah, I think.
Dude, it's like Hazard last night when he came at the end of the game. I was like, it's just like a Madrid. I completely forgot he existed.
Yeah. Sure. Jeez, I even forgot about Pepe. When did he last play? Well, have I not been watching Arsenal games? Yo, what the heck? But anyways, I think.
Okay, score prediction longer. We've got 5 minutes left here.
Sorry, I definitely think we take it. I said 3-1 will give Leeds them. Maybe Tavares makes one mistake. 3-1 will give it to them. But we take it.
All right, 3-1. I'm going to say, I said a draw. I'm going to say Leeds get a draw there. Aman saying, look, the news about Mbappe came from Le Parisien, and he's saying salary is about 50 million euros net year, signing bonus of 100 million. 2-year contract, 1-year option. Jeepers, that is ridiculous money. I would stay too. Who cares? Who cares about the footballing aspect right now? That's a lot of money. Last game. Leeds versus Spurs at home. One game. Be honest with yourself here. You are pushing for third place, but this game, is this trickier on paper, or will it actually be a tricky, tricky fixture? What do you think is going to happen here?
Look, Tottenham, you don't know what Tottenham's going to show up. It's the same Tottenham that beat Man City in the beginning of the league. That's the problem. And it's Son and Harry Kane. Those are arguably the best strikers in the league. With Ronaldo up there as well. I wouldn't even say arguably. Like, genuine. Any team in the league, if Son City was leaving, Man City would put something for him. Definitely. Harry Kane, guys in the limbo about him, yeah, they take him. If Man City could take Son and Kane, they take them both. 100%. They'll take them right now. They've got definitely a deep squad if they take those two players. And them alone. Now it's enough to cause problems. Lucas in the middle on the wing as well. It's a problem for them. The defense, I would say, is probably the weakest point at Spurs. But on the front, they can harm anyone, kill anyone. They can, you know, the defense just needs to be organized, and they can hurt Liverpool. And that's why I say, like, I don't know what Spurs is gonna pop up. If they lose, I'm chilled. Kind of confusing as well, because I just like them to stop Liverpool now. Then, I don't know where to be, Claudio Conner. I just don't know where to be in this game. I don't know. I can't even give a prediction, because I don't know what to say.
You're stuck in like the winter in South Africa where it's cold but it's hot and you don't know whether or not you should wear a jersey or you should go out in a t-shirt. Is that where you're at right now?
Yeah, that's what I am. But I think if I look at I don't care who you are. If Harry Kane and Son and Lucas link up there, it's late. I don't care who you are. I don't care what team is there. They can cause problems, but even if Van Dijk wouldn't be enough to stop it.
We know, it's to your point, what kind of Spurs are we going to get? We know Spurs, and Harry Kane in particular right now, according to how the theme of the season has been for Spurs, is that they do enjoy showing off for the big games, and this is the type of big game that they would love to spoil. You know, that's the game at the party that they're going to just crash and say, look, we know we weren't invited, but my name's Harry Kane, and, you know, you will see that I am an MVP. So that's kind of the sort of situation. Also, Son's performances, I think this is the best goal-scoring performance he's had at Spurs ever. So the situation is, we do know how Spurs are going to set up against Liverpool. They're going to sit deeper. They're going to wait for those counter-attacks that you're talking about, trying to exploit the space in behind. The likelihood is Kane will get onto the ball and wait for Son to make those runs. The question is, how many times can they do it? And when they get those chances, because they will get those chances, can they take those chances? Yeah. And then again, can they combat the relentless onslaught of the Liverpool attack and crosses and? Because Liverpool will have that position. That's what they're going to do. You afford them time and space. So the situation here that I'm looking at, Pums is saying Man City Newcastle 1-1 draw. He's also predicting a draw here. That would be an incredible double whammy. Wonga, do you see that happening? Two draws on the weekend.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say 2-2, yeah, because I don't know. Not two draws. I think Man City take it, but I think this one, I think I'm going to say a draw because I don't know which way it's going to go. I'll say 2-2. I really don't know. Yep. I really don't know.
Okay, 2-2 draw. But look, I think Copper's saying, coming up with a good question here. When was the last time Spurs beat Liverpool at Anfield? He can't even remember. I can't even remember. I just know Spurs is one of those teams. It's a frustrating team for Liverpool. Over the years, prior to this sort of, where Liverpool are at now, the Transformers, when all the vehicles come together, that they're that mega Transformer right now. That's what they are. Over the years, even when Liverpool were decent, they still struggled to beat Spurs. So, yeah, to your point, we don't know what's going to happen, yeah? Armand saying, lol, it's funny now that Madrid fans were chanting Mbappe name for the whole game at Bernabeu. Yeah, yeah.
And they have Hazard on the bench. Oh, that's funny. Oh, God.
All right, so you said 2-2? 2-2 draw, correct?
Yeah, I said 2-2 draw. I don't know which way it's going to
say. I'm going to say
it benefits
Liverpool.
Me. That actually benefits me nicely, both ways.
Liverpool win. 3-1 win. I'm going to go with that.
That's what he wants, guys. That's hot speaking.
I think they can do it. Pum's asking if we're going to cover Europa. Obviously, game's taking place tonight. I know David Moyes is saying that, you know, it's his time to win a trophy finally after all these years. He's saying he believes and he hopes now is the time to finally bring it home. Obviously, with them, West Ham taking on Frankfurt, Wonga Denga, they are one game away from making it to the finals of the Europa. We've got Rangers and Leipzig on the other end. And you got to say, if West Ham can't beat Frankfurt tonight, they've got a good chance of winning the Europa.
Yeah, and I think Moyes has been focusing on that one, to be honest with you. They've done well. I mean, I think they'll fight, and I think they can get there. Won't be an easy one. Did you know what the what is this thing? The aggregate score is. Yeah.
I'll check it out now. Let me see what we can get you before we go to the final. Thoughts? 2-1. So yeah. Frankfurt won the first game 2-1.
That's hectic. Okay, but yeah, I definitely think West Ham can come back. I mean, shame. Arsenal, we beat them, so we probably demoralized them just a little bit there. But yeah, maybe they get it. If Moyes says they want it as bad as he wants it, then yeah. I think they can turn things around, but it's not going to be easy at Frankfurt. Pretty decent side as well. I would like to see a West Ham versus Rangers in the final.
Saying Chelsea, Arsenal and West Ham all in the Champions League next season. Wonga, you'd love to hear that. Only Tottenham will be missing. This is the bonus. He says only Tottenham will be missing the London team. That's the one. Okay, so very happy, Wonga. We're going to wrap up this evening. If you join us for the first time, I just want to say thank you very much. If you're seeing me in the dark, that's because Eskom is a thing. And final thoughts there, Wonga Denga. Where you at?
I'll say it again. Arsenal, top three. We down to the top four race. We're going for top three now.
Jeez. You know what I need to do? To create like a montage of your reaction throughout the whole year from the start of the season to the end of the season, your little comments. But yes, top three there for Arsenal. I'm going to say Liverpool. You know what I'm going to say, Wonga? You can predict what I'm going to say. What am I going to say?
2 trophies.
Sorry, I can't see you, Wonga. I can't see you, man. I can't see you.
That can't happen.
Quadruple. You know, we'll never be silent. Can I just say, you know what a quadruple will mean? You know what it mean? You know that Arsenal season where they went unbeaten for how many games?
Yeah, for 49.
I think a quadruple raises that, personally speaking. Definitely.
No, you've lost matches. It doesn't count.
It does. Quadruple. You've never... How many finals? I mean, you've never even won the Champions League. Wait, first let Arsenal win the Champions League and then we can talk. Right,
it's next year.
It's next year. Pums is saying Champions League and the Baby Cup for Liverpool. All right.
That's the way.
Pums, let's see what happens this weekend. Let's see. You know, I'm hoping Chelsea get the points there, just so they can fake their sort of momentum and believe they can win the FA Cup. And so Arsenal do not claim third place. So I'm in your camp this weekend, Pums. So wishing you all the best. Wonga Denga, thank you very much for joining me, and thank you very much for captaining the ship solo this evening. For sure.
Yeah, that's what you do. One day we're trying to climb there, guys. We're trying to climb. That's what you do.
Wonga Denga, read that. Read that out loud.
All right, couple. We can't.
Couple.
No way.
Read it out loud. Read it out loud before we go. Come on.
I need my glasses. I can't see.
Wonga Denga, it's all right. For everyone listening and not actually watching the show, Arsenal, so Kapo is an Arsenal fan, is saying, he agrees with me in terms of quadruple over unbeaten season. Thank you very much, Kapo. I thank you. And on that note, Bongo, you know how to end the show.
Yeah. Stop it.
Stop it. Thank you for joining.